WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 17th of July, 2019. Outside, on the way into the studio this morning, I believe that's a thunder full moon. Today I got two episodes from 1956. In January 1956, Elvis Aaron Presley was just a regional sensation. But at the year's end, he would have two albums out, Elvis Presley and Elvis, and was a national and international phenomenon. But we're not going to play music, just letting you know that both of these episodes today are from 1956. The first being episode 513, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. As Bob Bailey pointed out, last week he was going to go to New Orleans this week. So, if Barry is cleared out, I hope everything's fine down there. We'll go ahead with the Royal Street Matter. Original air date, the 25th of November, 1956. Arthur, you're listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Johnny Dollar.
Why, man? How's your stomach, Johnny?
What?
Rich food gave you any trouble?
Who is this?
Why, your old buddy, Angie Orsatti.
Oh, hi, Angie. Glad you got my message.
Yeah. How about dinner tonight at Antoine's, Johnny? Shrimp gumbo, oysters, Rockefeller.
Yeah, sounds fine. Only I've got to do some work first.
Man, I thought you was here in New Orleans on vacation.
Nope. Little matter of fire insurance and the company's check for $16,000.
Somebody trying to cheat him out of it, huh?
You won't believe this, Angie. Somebody turned it down.
What?
Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of a man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Providential Fire and Marine, 787 Greenleaf Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Royal Street matter. Expense account item one, $103.82, transportation to New Orleans. Item two, $4.20, cab from the airport to the Roosevelt Hotel. After unpacking, I put in the call to my old friend Angie Orsatti. Nobody knows the French Quarter or the people living there like Angie does. For 3 months of the winter, he stays in the swamp trapping muskrats. The rest of the year, he lives with his mother near the Cabildo. Angie wasn't in, but his mother said she knew where to reach him, and 5 minutes later, he returned my call. We arranged to meet for dinner, then I phoned the agent who had sold the policy in question. His name's Binford, and naturally, he was anxious to see me. C.D. Binford's office is on the third floor of the Hibernia Bank Building. He's a stocky, red-faced man, probably in his late 50s.
Come in, Mr. Dollar, come in, come in.
Thanks.
Help yourself to the chair. Say, you fellas sure don't waste any time, do you?
We try not to, Mr. Binford.
C.D., boy.
What?
You call me C.D. like all the other folks do.
Oh, okay, C.D.
Yeah. Now, like I was saying, you boys sure don't waste any time at all. Why, I didn't even call the home office till day before yesterday.
I know. When was the fire?
Last week on Thursday night. What'd they tell you about it?
Well, not very much. Figured I'd get all the information from you.
Well, it's a doozy. First time I've ever run across a policyholder who wasn't yelling for us to pay him yesterday for his loss today. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Who is the insured, C.D.?
Man named DuPas, Henry DuPas. Took out a policy for $48,000. That's full coverage on his antique shop down on Royal Street.
How long ago?
August, just 3 months back. I've been after him for, maybe 5-6 months to buy some protection, but he kept saying he didn't have the money.
Didn't have the money?
And one day I dropped in to see him about his car insurance, and right off he told me to write a policy giving him full fire coverage on the shop.
Well, how do you arrange to pay it?
Cash, in full, the day I delivered the policy.
He tell you why he changed his mind?
Yeah, not exactly. Bet he mentioned something about times being better. I reckon there must have been.
Why'd he say that?
Well, a few days later, he had the back part of his shop all painted and fixed up. And that's the part that burned. And he hired himself a girl to work in the office. A real good looker, too.
Well, what caused the fire, you know?
I sure do. Antique kerosene lamp got knocked over accidental. According to what DuPas told the fireman, he was in the back of the shop with a customer showing him the lamp.
Uh-huh.
When it fell, the fire started. The two of them tried to put it out. Reckon that's why they didn't call the fire department right off.
Uh-huh. And did DuPas tell you the same thing?
DuPas? He didn't tell me nothing.
Well, he reported the fire to you, didn't he?
He did not. And that's what's got me so riled up. I wouldn't know about it now if I hadn't dropped in there the other day.
Was DuPas there when you stopped in?
Yes, sirree. And when I saw how the place looked, the whole back of the store gutted out and the slew of his antiques destroyed, I let him have both barrels, I tell you.
Oh, what'd he say to that?
Yeah, nothing too much. Just acted like he wasn't interested in whether we paid for it or not. Didn't even ask for a claim for him.
That's funny.
Sure is. I thought maybe he was so upset over losing some of his valuable antiques, he didn't know what he was doing.
Mm.
So, after I checked with the fire department, got a copy of their report, I typed up a claim for him.
You figured the damage at $16,000, right?
Mm-hmm. I knew how much he spent fixing up the back. When I'd issued the policy, I'd gotten an estimate on most of the antiques.
So what happened when you gave him the claim? He signed it?
He did not. Said to forget about the fire.
Huh.
And when I kept after him, he called me a busybody and told me to get out of his shop and stay out.
What do you think, C.D.? You have any idea why he didn't report it or sign that claim?
If I had, boy, I wouldn't have sent for you.
I left Binford's office and walked over to Canal Street. The sun had gone down and a cool breeze was coming in off the river, bringing with it the smell of coffee beans and fruit from the banana boats. I crossed Canal and turned onto Royal, heading into the French Quarter. When I reached Henry DuPas' antique shop, I stopped. There are a lot of antique shops on Royal. All of them look pretty much the same. The buildings as old as the fine rosewood mahogany pieces they shelter. There was nothing different about this one, at least from the outside. The fire had started and finished in the rear of the building. I tried the front door, but it was locked. I didn't think anyone would be there that late, but I knocked anyway.
Yes, who is it?
Mr. DuPas?
Who is it?
My name's Dollar, Mr. DuPas. I represent the Providential Fire Marine.
Why do you people persist in annoying me?
Well, we wouldn't if you'd tell us about the fire.
There's nothing special about that fire, Mr. Dollar. It was an accident.
Well, then why didn't you file a claim? You're entitled to enough money to cover your loss.
Mr. Binford explained that to me quite carefully. If you haven't talked to him, Mr. Dollar, you should.
Oh, I've talked to him.
Well, then go away.
Well, not until you answer a few questions.
No, leave me alone, please.
I'd noticed an alley next to the shop that ended where the rear door had been. I started back along it, not quite sure what I was looking for or what I expected to find. But I was sure of one thing. DuPas was a frightened man. It was too dark to see anything at the end of the alley, so I returned to the street. Item 3, $30.50, phone call, taxi, and dinner for two at Antoine's.
Oh, man. Kind of nice, ain't it, Johnny?
Hmm?
Oh, the way it never changes. Same waiter, same chef, same clientele.
Yeah. Like another Cafe Royale, Ashy?
No, no, thanks. Well, Johnny?
Yeah?
Well, when you gonna ask me?
Ask you what?
Oh, don't kid me, John. You've had that old bloodhound look in your eye ever since we sat down. What's the question?
Okay, Angie. What do you know about a man named Henry DuPont?
DuPont's antique shop?
That's right.
Oh, not much. Seen him around some, so.
Yeah, where?
Oh, you know what kind of places I like, Johnny.
Yeah, but I can't picture DuPont liking them.
Well, maybe he don't, but maybe that little old blonde he's been carrying with him does.
Blonde?
Yeah, you know, female, girl, bleached hair.
I know.
Yeah.
How old?
Oh, 24, 5. Yeah, real nice for old coot like him.
Real winter and spring, huh?
Yeah.
You seen them together often?
Oh, a few times. Saw him about 2 weeks ago at Butcher's place. Hey, you know something? I walked in there that night with a 5 and I walked out with 200. How about that?
Great. You know who the blonde is?
No, but I might be able to find out. You want?
Yeah, I want. I left Angie and started back toward Royal Street. On the way, I ran up item 4, $1.85 for one flashlight and batteries. The shades on DuPont's shop were drawn, but I could tell there were lights on inside. In the alley, a small pickup truck was parked near the side entrance to the shop. In the back of the truck, looking like they'd just been taken off the boat, were several stalks of bananas. There wasn't much else to see except the charred wood and refuse left in the alley after the fire. I started back toward the street when a man, a much larger man than DuPont, came out the side door and got into the truck. He turned over the engine and switched on the lights before I could get clear.
Hey, what are you doing there? Hold it, mister, right there. Here, buddy, you just hold it. What were you doing back there, huh?
Well, right now, mister, I'm wondering what this load of bananas is doing in an antique shop.
What is it, Carl?
Well, I just caught this guy snooping around in the back.
What? It's Mr. Dolan.
Yeah, that's right.
You know him, DuPont?
He's one of those insurance men I told you about.
Oh, well, what are you here for, Dollar? Didn't DuPont tell you he doesn't want any money from you people?
Now, why not? Because he's afraid we might have to take a good look around before paying
no,
off.
No, son.
Now, look, Dollar. Mr. DuPont has been okay with you people, so you got no reason to come snooping around. Especially after he's told you he don't want you around. So now maybe Mr. DuPont will have to do something to keep you away. Ain't that right, Mr. DuPont? You know what I mean.
Yes. Yes, all right. I'll do it, Carl. And he'll never bother us again.
Go on, Dollar. Get out of here.
At the time, I had no idea what they meant to do, so it wasn't easy to turn my back on them. But I did. Nothing happened. I went back to my hotel and hit the sack, and I must confess I slept later than usual the next morning. I was still in bed when the phone rang. Johnny Dollar.
Well, hey now, where's my dynamic northern friend?
Oh, he's off today. I'm taking his place.
Well, in the news I got, well, I reckon it'll keep till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, so long.
No, wait, Angie.
Yeah.
Did you find out anything about that blonde DuPont's been seeing?
Sure, everybody around the French Market coffee shop used to know her. Used to, meaning up till she went to work for Mr. DuPont.
She worked for DuPont?
Yeah, in the office at his store. Started in there about 3 months ago.
Well, come on.
Well, since then, nobody sees her anymore. At least none of her old gang.
You know where she lives?
Yep. The Pont Alba Apartments. That is, unless she has moved.
Well, what's her name?
Rose Ellen.
What?
Yeah, she used to be a dancer. That enough for you to go on?
Yeah, Angie, thanks. That's plenty. Expense account item 5, $1.40 cab fare from my hotel to the Pont Alba Apartments. The list of names on the register near the manager's office told me Rose Ellen's apartment was number 215. But when I got up there, the girl who opened the door wasn't a blonde.
Yes?
Oh, I'm looking for Miss Rose Ellen.
She isn't in.
Oh, she at work?
Who are you? I mean, are you a friend of hers?
My name's Dollar. Johnny Dollar. I'm an insurance investigator.
Well, she hasn't done anything, has she?
Well, not that I know of. Look, Miss...
Garbo.
Garbo?
May Garbo.
You're a dancer, aren't you?
Ha! how'd you guess?
Oh, I'm good at recognizing talent.
Oh? Would you like to come in? I've got some coffee on.
Well, that'll be just fine. Say, you've certainly got a nice view of the square from here.
I suppose.
Don't you think so?
Oh, sure, if you like that sort of thing. Me, I just think the square's kind of square.
Oh, that's good. That's very good.
I brought it up the day we moved here.
You and Rose move in here together?
Uh-huh. Oh, sit down, Johnny. Make yourself at home.
Well, thanks.
Gee, you're so polite. You wait to be asked.
Yeah. Look, tell me, what time do you think Rose will be home?
Oh, I couldn't say.
May, this is important. What time does she usually get home?
Well, I don't know. I mean, after all, she's got her own life to live, you know. And I'm not her keeper.
Okay, okay.
Sometimes she doesn't get home for days. Oh, I better get the coffee.
She ever say anything to you about the fire?
Huh? What fire?
The fire down at the antique shop.
No, you want cream and sugar?
No, thanks, just black.
Good. When was that?
The fire? Last Thursday night.
That's funny.
What's funny?
That was the last time I saw her.
What?
Yeah. Rose went to work last Thursday, but she never came home.
Act two of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, in just a moment. You don't have to be a special investigator to know that Americans don't take their civic responsibilities lightly. The Election Day turnout proved that, beyond any shadow of doubt. So now it's time for you to face up to another responsibility to the nation in just as straightforward a way. Our Ground Observer Corps needs volunteers. We at CBS Radio urge you to write or telephone your nearest Civil Defense Center to learn how you can help in this vast program that patrols our skies. Now, Act Two of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar and the Royal Street Matter.
This was the screwiest deal I'd ever seen. A guy refusing insurance money he was entitled to. Rose Ellen was my one lead, so I continued questioning May, her roommate. May told me this was the first time Rose had been away so long without at least sending for a change of clothes. I asked about Rose's boyfriends. She told me Rose had been going with one other man beside DuPont, but she didn't know who he was. After May promised to call me if she heard from Rose Ellen, I left. Expense account item 6, $1.90, taxi from the Pontalba Apartments to the Hibernia Bank Building. My insurance contact, Benford, wasn't in. So while I waited for him, I wondered again why DuPont had refused to sign the claim for the fire damage to his shop. Could he afford a loss of $16,000? I wondered if something had happened in that shop, something DuPont tried to cover up with a fire. I was wondering what it could have been when Benford walked in.
Well, I'm glad you're here, Johnny. We got trouble.
Huh?
I hear you paid DuPont a call last night.
That where you've been?
Yeah. He phoned me about 10, wanted me there fast. Oh, boy. I wish I had sense enough to stay away.
Well, what happened, C.D.?
Before I tell you that, you tell me what he said to you last night.
Nothing important, just something about fixing it so I couldn't bother him again.
Oh? Well, he did.
How?
He canceled his fire insurance policy and every other policy he ever bought from me.
Cancel?
Yeah. So you might as well go on back to your hotel and pack, Johnny. It's none of your affair now, no matter what he's up to.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's too bad it had to turn out this way. You want a drink before you go?
Yeah, I guess I need one.
Yeah. What'll it be, scotch or rye?
Scotch, neat, please.
Good, saves making a mess. When you reckon you leave?
Oh, I don't know. I'll check with the airline when I get back to the hotel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Thanks.
Better luck next time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's that.
C.D.
Hmm?
What about the policy?
Policy?
D.
Did he return the policy to you?
No. I said do it tomorrow.
But he's covered until he does return it. Does he know that?
Why, no. I don't reckon he does.
Good, good. He might get careless. And as long as that policy is in force, I can bother him as much as I want.
Oh, I don't see what's the use, Johnny. He'll have it here by tomorrow evening.
That still gives me 24 hours to get lucky. C.D., you said something about a customer being with him when that kerosene lamp was knocked over.
Mm-hmm. According to what he told the fire department, there was.
You had that person's name?
Well, I should have. I took it in the fire department report. I've got that right here. Here it is. Now, let's see. Mm-hmm. The name's Andrew W. DeLong. Address, 1515 West Claiborne.
There wasn't any Andrew DeLong at that address. We checked the telephone book and the city directory, and the only Andrew W. DeLong we found was out in Metairie, in a mausoleum. So we drove back towards C.D.'s office.
Well, now what, Johnny?
DuPont.
What?
Find out everything we can about DuPont and everybody who works for him.
But ain't nobody but his secretary and his assistant. Tell the name Carl.
Yeah, how long has Carl been working for him?
Oh, about as long as she has.
Does this Carl own a fruit stand?
Well, not I know about. Why?
Oh, I just wondered. Hey, what time is it, C.D.?
2:15. Say, if we're going to check on DuPont's credit, we better get to the bank before the close.
You're driving. Let's move. Expense account item 7, $22.80. Telephone calls and a couple of gratuities to obtain a lot of information about DuPont. I learned, among other things, that he'd banked almost $11,000 in the past 3 months. Before that, almost nothing. But there's no law against making money, so I still had nothing concrete to go on. At 5:30, I left Binford, went back to my hotel, and there found a message from May, Rose Ellen's roommate, asking me to go to her apartment immediately. So I did.
Oh, Johnny.
Yeah, hi, May.
Oh, come in. Johnny. You know what you made me promise.
Yeah?
Well, it happened.
You mean you've heard from Rose?
Well, no, not exactly. But a man called this afternoon and talked about her.
Oh, well, I hope he had only nice things to say.
Oh, yes, he said she's just fine.
What?
Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, he said she's fine.
Fine.
Well, what else did he say?
Well, he said he was going to come by at 4 o'clock and pick up her clothes. I should have them ready.
No, but of course he didn't.
Well, he did so.
He did? Oh, what man? You know him? You get his name?
Mr. Dollar, you don't think I'd let Rose's things go out of here with a complete stranger, do you? Of course he told me his name.
Well?
You aren't nearly as polite as you were this morning.
All right, I'm sorry. What's the man's name, darling?
Oh, well, that's much better. It's Grant.
Grant?
That's right.
It doesn't register.
From the way he talked, he must be the one Rose was going with while she was dating that old antique.
You ever see this guy, Grant, before?
No, but I'm sure he's the one she talked about. Really, it used to get so tiresome. Carl this and Carl does that. Oh.
What?
I said, oh.
May, tell me, where did he say he was taking her clothes?
Well, he didn't say. Just put them in that old truck.
Thanks, sweetheart. See you later. I needed a fast car and a driver who could handle it, so I called Angelo Arsati. 20 minutes later, we parked in front of DuPont's antique shop. There was a dim light on inside. Now, look, brother, there's really no reason for you to get mixed up in this thing.
Are you kidding, son? Looks like DuPont ain't gonna answer.
All right, let's see what this hunk of stone will do to the glass. Here.
Hey, that got it. I can reach through to lock.
Nobody here. Well.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, I see him. Carl, what happened to you?
Dollar.
Angie, call an ambulance. Tell him a man's been stabbed here.
Yeah, right, Johnny.
Dollar. Get to her before he can.
DuPont?
Gonna kill Rose. You got to help her.
DuPont wants to kill her? Why?
She found out. Smuggling.
Is that what DuPont's been up to?
Smuggling in banana shipments. Rose found out.
Where is she?
He thought I'd killed her, but I love her.
Yeah, well, look, tell me.
You gotta get to her before he does.
Where is she?
Old Spanish fortress.
Yeah?
Out on Bayou Slidell.
Old Spanish fortress on the Bayou Slidell.
Yeah.
You know where that is, Angie?
Oh, sure. An old ruin out in the swamp north of town near the highway bridge that goes over to the Gulf Coast.
Carl, how long ago did DuPont leave?
10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, we could beat him, Johnny, by cutting across the swamps. That is, if you could take it.
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's rugged.
Like what?
Johnny, did you ever ride a swamp buggy?
Brother,
yeah.
How much farther, Angie?
Well, should be right up ahead.
How can you tell? All I can see is swamp and marsh grass.
Yeah, well, I done a lot of trapping out here. I know the channel.
Think we'll make the old ruins before DuPont?
Well, we got to, don't we? Hey, there it is.
That old wreck is called a fortress?
Man, that's it.
Well, get us up as close to it as you can. I don't see anybody parked. Nobody approaching the bridge.
There we are.
Come on, let's go.
Hey, look, John. There she is at the side entrance.
Yeah, I see. Rose! Rose Ellen!
She's scared. She ducked back inside.
Rose! We're friends of Carl's. He sent us to help you.
Well, come on, Johnny. We can get inside to her through this here doorway.
Okay. This place looks like it's about ready to fall apart. Rose!
Yeah, man. Dark in here, too. Yeah, don't step on them falling bricks.
Okay. Rose! Rose Ellen!
Yes? Where's Carl?
DuPont tried to kill him.
Oh, no.
Rose! Come on out here where we can see you. Rose!
Found out that Carl didn't kill me, is that it?
Yeah, but Carl's all right now. Look, Rose, I want you to tell me all you know about the fire at DuPont's shop. Were you there?
Yes.
Well, what happened?
DuPont had me tied up. Told Carl I'd found out what they were doing. The smuggling, I mean. He told Carl to kill me. He didn't know Carl and I was going to be married.
Go on, go on.
Carl argued with him. That's when the lamp got knocked over. They didn't stop arguing till DuPont said he'd kill us both. So finally, Carl told DuPont he'd take care of me. Well, he had to, or DuPont would have killed us.
But instead, Carl brought you here.
Yes.
Oh, come on, Johnny. Let's get out of this dark
hole. Wait a minute, Angie. Rose, do you know why DuPont was afraid to report his fire to the insurance company?
Some of the things he smuggled in was lost in the fire. If anybody come poking around, they might have found out what he's doing.
What was he smuggling? Do you know?
Little tiny boxes filled with white powder hidden in the bananas.
Johnny, narcotics.
Yeah, sure. No wonder he banks so much money so fast.
I bank much more. Huh? After I get rid of you, Dollar.
Look at that. There he is in the door.
Yeah, watch it.
See, I ain't fooling, Dollar.
He can't see us.
No, but what a target he makes in that doorway against the light.
No gun, Johnny?
No. We can try one of these bricks.
Yeah. Man, but if you miss...
Dollar!
Wish me luck.
Yeah. Dollar!
Right here, DuPont! Come on.
Oh, man, dear. You could qualify for the New York Yankees, Johnny.
All right, DuPont, on your feet. Let's get out of here. Expense account total, including rental on the swamp buggy, incidentals and transportation back to Hartford, $517.20. Remarks? Well, where he's going, DuPont wouldn't have any use for the insurance money anyway. Carl Grant turned state's evidence and clinched the smuggling charges against him. Because of that, Carl may get off easy. I hope so. He and Rose could make a very happy couple. End of remarks, end of report. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
star will return in just a moment. If we are to remain alert to possible acts of aggression, we need the continuous operation of the Ground Observer Corps. And if the Ground Observer Corps is to remain on the job around the clock 7 days a week, your help is needed. Tomorrow, telephone your nearest Civil Defense Center and volunteer a few hours of your time each week to the Ground Observer Corps. Join our Ground Observer Corps at the Civil Defense Center nearest your home. Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's story.
Next week, three sets of twins, two men, two girls, and two fires that hit the coast of Florida with the impact of a hurricane. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood. Written by Charles B. Smith, it is produced and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in tonight's cast were Virginia Gregg, Forrest Lewis, Lou Merrill, Lawrence Dobkin, and Frank Gersel. Musical supervision is by Amerigo Marino and Carl Fortina. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Dan Cumberly speaking.
Thank you, lads, for that. Yes, that was Bob Bailey starring as Johnny Dollar. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, the Royal Street Matter, with an original air date of the 25th of November, 1956. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, aired from 1949 to 1962, pretty much on CBS throughout its whole livelihood. Various men played Johnny Dollar over the years. It wasn't exclusively Bob Bailey. He was there in the, well, in 1956. Edmund O'Brien also played Johnny Dollar at some point. I forget what his name was in the Wild Bunch, but I always liked him. We'll fulfill an FCC obligation for a second before we start our second half. For a double bill.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule zero, all guns are always loaded. Rule one, never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule two, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule three, be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you. Digital George and Digital Henry. For that. All right, the second half of this morning's Grand Hour with Arthur here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford and or WMFO.org is episode 247 of Gunsmoke. This one's titled Hound Dog. Gunsmoke aired on CBS from 1952 to 1961. I double-checked that. I thought it was longer than that, but no, there's just overlap with Gunsmoke being a radio drama with William Conrad as Marshall Dillon and James Arness. Marshall Dillon on the TV show. So we'll go ahead and start this. Hound Dog with an original air date of the 30th of December, 1956.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Doggone it, Mr. Dillon. One of these here days, I'm just gonna shake the dust of Dodge City off of my boots for good.
Sure, I know, Chester. How much you lose this time?
$11.20. Who said anything about losing?
Well, every time you sit in on one of those draw games, the boys whipsaw you and you threaten to pull stakes and leave town.
And one of these times, I'm gonna do it, too.
Sure, and the first thing you look for in the next town will be a draw poker table.
Well, maybe I ought to change to stud or blackjack.
Maybe you ought to just keep your money in your pocket. Do you ever think of that?
No, I got a hunch my luck is right on the point of turning, Mr. Dillon.
Oh?
Well, if I only had, say, $5 or so to get back into the game...
No.
I could be... even if I only had a dollar... Oh, Miss Kitty. Just one single dollar.
You broke, Chester?
Well, yes.
There you go.
Oh, no. Now, I just couldn't think of taking money from a lady, Mr. Dillon.
Oh, well,
except
take it,
as a loan, maybe I could. Excuse me, Mr. Dillon. I'll pay it back in just a few minutes.
You know, Kitty, you're a born soft touch.
Oh, well, if he needs it, miss.
It's those sharps over there at the poker table that need it.
Oh, well, he can't get hurt bad on $1.
Chester's hurt bad when he loses 10 cents.
Yeah. Maybe he's lucky, Matt.
Oh, how so?
Oh, forget it, Matt. Just one of those nights, I guess.
Yeah. Dad, would a drink help, maybe?
Probably not. But I'll have one anyway. At least it won't do me any harm.
Okay.
Oh, well, I see the Marshal of Dodge is out carousing again.
Hello, Doc.
How are you, Doc?
Oh, my kitty, you look prettier than a basket full of sunflowers.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Oh, say, Matt... You'll never guess who came to my office for help this afternoon.
No, but they got my sympathy, Doc.
It was old Carpus Degg.
Carpus?
Who's Carpus Degg?
Well, he lives in a shack on the river bottom, Kitty. He hunts a little, traps some, keeps pretty much to himself.
What's wrong with him, Doc?
Nothing. He brought me a patient. Too late to do any good, of course. He died right on my operating table.
Oh.
Died of what?
A bullet wound.
You mean somebody was shot this afternoon and you didn't tell me about it?
I didn't think it was important. Was the Carpus, though. Yes. He looked mighty broken up when he left.
Doc, will you please...
I reckon a man living alone that way, without any human friends, can get pretty fond of an old hound dog.
A dog?
Yeah. I guess I did forget to mention, it was that old spotted hound dog of his that was shot.
How are you, Doc?
Miss Kitty?
Yeah, Chester.
Do you think maybe you can get by till payday for that dollar?
Forget it, Chester.
Yeah, yes, forget it, Chester. None up. No use looking at me, Chester.
Well, I was just thinking...
Doc, did Carpus have any idea who shot his dog?
If he did, he wasn't saying. But from the look on his face when he walked out, I'm glad it wasn't me.
Well, now, why would anybody do a thing like that?
Well, I don't know. It's too bad, but there's nothing much to be done about it.
I think maybe I better ride out there in the morning and have a talk with Carpus.
What for?
This wouldn't be the first time that a dog getting killed would finally lead to a man getting killed.
What's the matter?
Well, I have a warning for all eligible dependents seeking medical care at government expense from civilian sources.
Well, so all right already.
Be sure the physician and hospital are participating in the Medicare program before beginning treatment.
Well, so my dependents have checked. Now what?
They should make sure they use their ID card to obtain only that medical care to which they are entitled. Misuse of the ID card is punishable by a fine of up to $10,000 or imprisonment of up to 5 years.
For a couple of aspirins?
Don't take chances. Read the pamphlet, Dependence, Medical Care Program.
Oh, no, that's what I call scare advertising.
Shack looks deserted, Mr. Dillon. Maybe old Cropper's gone off somewheres.
And there's somebody cutting wood over there in the draw. Let's leave our horses here in the lean-to, Chester.
All right, sir. Man, it'd have to be a little ouchy to want to live out here all alone this way.
Yeah, maybe it's not a matter of choice.
No company except for a dog. No neighbors for 10 miles or more.
That's not quite that far. Pete Raymer's got a homestead about 2 miles north of here.
Maybe he shot that hound, Mr. Dillon.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, I don't know. But folks mostly leave the old carpus to himself.
Yeah, I know.
Hold it there. Right where you are.
Mr. Dillon.
Take it easy, Chester.
Who is it? Speak up there.
It's Matt Dillon, carpus, and Chester. Now you better put that rifle down.
Oh. Well, I didn't recognize you, Marshal. My eyes ain't what they used to be. I thought maybe it was... Well...
You thought what?
Well, I just didn't know.
You mean you thought it might be whoever shot your dog, huh?
Oh, Doc told you about that, huh?
I'm sorry to hear it, Cubs.
I'd had Danny Boy 11 years, Marshal. He was going blind, pretty near bad as me. And he sure weren't no use to hunt with no more. But I'll say one thing, Marshal. I'd given my right arm rather than lose that hound. I reckon folks should call it crazy, but that's how I felt.
Well, living alone, I guess a man learns to appreciate a dog.
Well, he understood every word that was said to him just as good as you or me. By evenings, we'd sit there in my shack and I'd talk to him and... Well, we won't be doing that no more now.
Who do you think shot him?
Let's walk back up to the shack, Marshal. It's getting mighty cold standing here.
All right.
Here, look, yonder. Here goes a rabbit. Look at that darn fool run.
He's sure scratching gravel.
Danny Boy'd been after him like a shot. He'd have lost him right off, but he'd sure give it a try. Rabbits, coyotes, prairie chickens. He chased anything that moved. Blundering along, blind as a bat, baying his lungs out.
Carpus, you have any idea why anybody would want to shoot him?
Because they're playing low down mean, that's why. Ain't no other reason for doing a thing like that. Well, come on inside.
All right.
Ain't nothing fancy, but it keeps the weather off. There's some coffee going here in a couple of minutes, Marshal, if you're mind to set a spell.
Well, don't go to any bother on our account.
No, no, it's no bother. Just get a few more logs in here. I ain't sure I can scare up 3 mugs, though. It's kind of unusual having callers here. Folks who always acted like I had the plague or something.
Well, people get caught up in their own troubles, I guess, Carpus. Just get too busy sometimes to be neighborly.
Yeah, that man can get lonesome, Marshal.
Yeah, I know. Pete Raymer and his missus ever drop by here?
No, never.
Where'd you find the dog after he'd been shot?
I didn't find him. He found me. He come dragging himself back here to the cabin. I rushed him right into dock, but it was too late.
And you don't know where it happened, then?
Yes, I know. I followed his trail back this morning. It was on a brushy draw, about a mile from here.
Out toward the Raymer place?
You know, more or less. I'll take care of it, Marshal. You just stay out of it. Law's for people and not for dumb animals.
Your dog wasn't shot by a dumb animal, Carpus.
I'll settle it my own way.
And you know who did it?
Well, I know, all right. And I'll see they pay for it, too.
That kind of paying for it gets out of hand sometimes.
I'm the one that suffered the loss. It's my concern, not the loss.
Carpus, come out here.
Somebody's out there in the yard.
You hear me?
Get out. Get out on the floor. Well, it seems like one of your neighbors has finally come calling on you, Carpus.
Another visit with Joe and Daphne Forsythe.
Joe.
Yeah. I'm up. Forget breakfast. I'll shave at work.
Joe, it's not time to go to work.
Then why'd you wake me up?
You were snoring.
How about that?
You were snoring loud.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to quiet you.
I thought I was quiet.
You sounded like a buzzsaw going through a pine knot.
Pretty good. I wish I could be with you at 2:30 in the morning.
You can go back to sleep now.
Oh, gee, thanks.
You can get a good night's sleep, too. Our savings bonds will protect us.
Huh?
They protect us. The money we invest is used to protect our country and its freedoms. Why, all around us, we can see the safeguards that our bonds have paid for.
How about that?
So, you see, when you buy that savings bond with every paycheck, you're really investing in a secure night's sleep.
Not in this house, I'm not.
What?
Good night, Daphne.
Good night, Joe.
That's Pete Raymer out there, Marshal.
You heard me, you mangy old weasel. Come on out here.
He's aiming to kill me.
But why?
Well, I don't rightly know, but he fired a bullet through the window, didn't he?
All right, Carpus, you stay away from the door. You too, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Raymer, it's Matt Dillon. You hold your fire. I'm coming out.
I didn't know you was in there, Marshal.
No, I guess you didn't.
You understand, I wasn't aiming to shoot nobody.
Is that so?
No. Just trying to throw a scare into him. Into old Carpus, I mean. Bring him to his senses, maybe.
Has he been out of his senses?
Well, he sure act like it. Marshal, you know what he'd done this morning? He tried to shoot my kid's dog. Yeah. Snuck up through the brush, took a shot at her. Sonny, seen him do it.
Any idea what it'd cause him to do a thing like that?
Dang if I know. He's just crazy, I reckon. He always been in my touch. You know that. That's why folks around here just stay shy of him.
Well, that might work both ways, Rimmer.
How's that?
Being lonesome, acting strange. They kind of go together sometimes.
Yeah, maybe.
Are you the one who shot his dog?
What? If he says that, he's a liar. I ain't even seen that old hound for a week. Didn't know he was shot till you told me. Anybody says I done that is a liar.
Well, I say you done it, Raymer. You calling me a liar?
I'm calling you anything you are.
Right,
you stand there and listen to. Marshal, is that what he told you, that I killed his dog?
No, he didn't tell me anything. He said he'd take care of it himself.
Yes, and I will, too.
That's what you was doing, sneaking around my place.
An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It's the law of the scripture.
All right, you just take warning from me right now. I catch you around my place one more time, I'm going to put a bullet in you.
Well, I ain't too bad to shot myself.
You better be a good shot. You better.
All right, shut up, both of you. Shut up. Like I told you, Carpus, this way of paying for things comes high sometimes.
Danny Boy was the only thing I had in the world, Marshal.
Well, then you ought to find out who killed him instead of coming around and scaring my kid after death.
I know who killed
him. Sonny come running home like old Scratch yourself was after him, yelling. It's Mr. Dagg he's yelling. He just took a shot at my dog. Oh, Carpus, if I could have got my hands on you.
Wait a minute,
right
Rimmer.
Then.
Wait a minute. Is that really what he said?
I ain't known to be a liar, Marshal.
The exact words, I mean.
Well, that's the gospel, so hell. If lightning was to strike me, then
all right,
right,
all right,
where
all
I
right.
Stand.
I suppose we all ride over to your place, Rimmer.
My place?
Yeah. I want to talk to Sonny.
What for?
It might help to prevent a murder.
The kid, Marshal, right there in front of the barn. Sonny? Sonny?
Yeah, Pop?
Come on over here a minute, Sonny, will you? Marshal wants to talk to you.
Marshal?
Yeah, come on. Sonny, come back.
You run into the barn, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah.
I can't figure what come over that boy, Marshal.
Well, we'll soon find out. Maybe it'd be better if you and Carpus stayed here with the horses, Rimmer.
You say so?
Keep an eye on him, Chester. Don't let him get into an argument.
All right, sir.
Can't figure why Sonny'd run into that barn. Anyway, just like you see the goat. Don't figure why the marshal
would talk. Sonny.
What do you want?
I want to talk to you. I want you to open the door.
Boy.
You can't get away from a thing by hiding from it, Sonny.
I'm going away, Marshal. I got a gun in here.
Oh? Good, I'd like to see it.
No.
All right, Sonny, I'll give you just 3 seconds to open this door. Now move.
All right, Marshal. Go ahead and arrest me if you want to, but please don't let Mr. Dagg shoot Nellie.
He won't.
He tried to this morning. That's why I got her tied up here in the barn.
Well, why do you suppose he did it, Sonny?
Why'd he get even? Because I... Well, I guess you know about it, don't you?
Know about what?
It was an accident, Marshal. Cross my heart it was. I was after an old coyote, and he ran into that brush patch. And I went in after him and seen something more, and I thought it was him, so I fired. Only it wasn't. It was that old hound dog of Mr. Dagg's.
Oh. A man should never pull a trigger unless he's sure what he's got in his sights, Sonny.
Yes, sir, I know. Pop always told me that, but I just forgot. Now I have to go to jail and...
Now, you stop that kind of talk. You're not going to jail. Hey, Carpus, come over here, will you? You too, Raymer.
I was scared to tell what happened because I knew Pop would be mad and... I didn't think anyone would believe me.
What is it, Marshal?
Carpus, it was the boy here who shot your dog.
It was?
I didn't mean to do it, Mr. Dagg. I thought it was a coyote, but it was old Danny Boy. Oh, I know how you like that old hound. I sure feel awful about it.
Are you sure it was an accident?
Yes, sir, it was. Honest, it was.
Well...
Nellie's going to have pups in a couple of weeks, Mr. Dagg. And I'll let you have your choice of the litter. Any one of them you want.
Well, that hound of mine was a trained hunter, Sonny. Takes a lot of work to train a young pup.
I'll help you. I'll come over every day as soon as my chores is done and help you train him.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty fair offer. This Nellie's a good dog, is she?
She's the best dog in the world. You just take a look at her. Come on, I'll show you.
I'm mighty sorry about this, Carpus.
Yeah, that's all right. It couldn't be helped.
Come on, Mr. Dick.
Yeah, all right, Sonny. All right, I'm coming.
Yeah. Looks like old Carpus has finally got himself a friend, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. Looks like two, though, Chester. Counting the pup.
According to Thomas Jefferson, equal justice to all men, regardless of their political or religious beliefs, is an essential principle of our political philosophy. The amendments to our Constitution spell out what we mean by justice. For example, no one can conduct an unreasonable search of our homes or businesses, or seize any of our belongings. We can't be held for a capital or infamous crime unless we are first indicted by a grand jury. And we are entitled to a speedy and a public trial by an impartial jury. The accused has a right to confront the witnesses against him, and he can force witnesses who could aid his case to testify. Of course, he cannot be made to testify against himself. He is entitled to the help of a lawyer, and he cannot be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. These are definitions in our Dictionary of Freedom. Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns were by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week.
That was Gunsmoke, episode 247, titled Hound Dog, with an original air date of the 30th of December, 1956. Again, Gunsmoke was heard on CBS from 1952 to 1961, starring William Conrad, as you heard, as Marshal Dillon. First half of the show, played a Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. That series ran from 1949 to 1962, and actually Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, was one of the last radio dramas to sign off of the radio. So my name is Arthur. You've been listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford at Tufts Freeform Radio, and or WMFO.org, streamed, or in the archive, whichever, however digitally. Listen to the Grand Hour. I think that's it for today. Hope everybody has a nice day. Thanks for listening.